John Corrales told us a few years ago that was his favorite Christmas song. Well, we don't forget those kind of things. Hello there, John.
I was just going to ask him, like, did you know that that was the case? That's awesome. That's great.
We tuck those. Carrie tucks those things away. He knows what's going on. How are you?
You guys are good. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Absolutely. Back here in studio, feeling good, looking better than ever.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, I didn't have too far to go there. Let's see. It's not Patriots level ugly, what we saw the last couple games. Nothing could be, but certainly a rough stretch here against the Magic for the Celtics.
I don't know what the comparison would be. How could the Celtics lose in a manner that the Patriots lost? I mean, you'd have to miss a three-pointer so badly that the rebound bounced off somebody's hands and went full court through the rim, through the hoop for the other team. That's the best I can get to. It's four losses out of five games, and it feels not great. But the good news is they built themselves such a lead that coming back down to earth just makes them virtually tied for the best record in the league. They have the most wins in the league. They're one loss behind the Milwaukee Bucks. So they're still right there at the top of the East, and a lot of the problems are correctable. I think a lot of the things are understandable. And I understand, somebody who's listening can look at all of the things that I would list as reasons, and they say, "Oh, well, those are just excuses." And I get that, but also things happen for reasons, and those are, there are a variety of them. I think the road trip was not a great one as far as what it did to the Celtics overall. They did well on the road trip. But I think the loss to Golden State, the loss to the Clippers, how all that manifested itself and the kind of hangover since they came back, not great things. But like I said, correctable issues.
Many problems with the offense. And I have to say, the opening line of your piece at Boston Sports Journal is one of the greatest in the history of sports journalism. You wrote, "The Boston Celtics offense has become the Fat Elvis of the NBA." That is brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, the reason I went to Fat Elvis is because the Celtics offense used to be this big phenomenon, this historically great phenomenon, which is what Elvis was in his time. And since, over the last eight games, they have been giving in to their indulgences. They have relied on bad habits, and they are not exactly performing to their former glory. And I just kind of figured Fat Elvis was the greatest, the best comparison I could make to that. So, and that's what it is. I think some bad habits, they are indulging themselves in that they are holding the ball longer. They are passing the ball a little bit less, and it's not so egregious. It's not like it's 180 degrees from what they were, but it's, another way I could put it is like out of focus. If you go to the optometrist and they flip the little dial and they go better or worse, and they just flip their offense and you go, "Oh no, that's worse." And so you got to flip it back to the other bit. It's very easy to flip it back to what it used to be in focus and sharp. It's just they have to be mindful that you can't fall back into bad habits, because this talent on this team is good enough to be amazing if it all works together. It's not built to be amazing just on individual talent alone. The beauty, the power of this team is that when they are together, they are greater than the sum of its parts. But they have great talent individually along those parts, but it has to all work together for it to work at its best.
It's interesting, too, that statistically, just some minor differences here, a few fewer assists each game, as you mentioned, holding the ball a little longer, a few more times when guys walk it up the floor and shoot. But when you put all those together, then we see the kind of games we saw against Orlando.
Yeah, it's the holding the ball for 6 seconds or more. They're doing that more often. They're shooting the ball after seven dribbles. They're doing that more often. And their shooting percentages on those are in the high 20% range. So it's, and there's some overlap in those, but when you take a couple more shots per game when you hold the ball for 6 seconds, those are two shots that could be going to other players. And there's a cumulative effect here that you say, okay, well, a couple of times they, you know, you hold it, and that's okay, I guess. But each time that happens, and each time there is a drive without a kick, and the turnovers in the paint are up, and the assists out of the paint are down 3%. And when you add all of that stuff up, you have what I consider the bellwether of the Celtics offense, Derek White. You have his shooting going into the toilet, and he was one of the reasons why the Celtics offense was so good, because he was shooting in the high 40% range. Since, you know, over the last 8 games, he's been shooting about 20%. It's a ridiculous number, and I call him the bellwether of the offense, because when the ball moves and when the ball kicks, it finds him in rhythm. He's one of the guys that it finds in rhythm. When the ball doesn't move, and when the ball doesn't kick, and when guys hold it, when he does finally get the ball, he has to create a shot for himself. And that's when he struggles the most. So it's just, when you drive and you see help coming, get off the ball. It's very simple. When you see, when you're bringing the ball up, pass it and move and get the ball back when you're in rhythm. Simple things the Celtics can do that they've just gotten away from.
Now, is this something that Joe Mazzulla can fix, or are the players well aware of what they need to do differently going forward?
I mean, there is certainly both. I mean, I think the players do know, like, all right, I get what we're doing. And they can sit there and also say, though, that these are open shots, and they are getting wide open shots. But their percentages on wide open shots are down somewhere around 18-19%, you know, wide open threes. They're actually getting more wide open threes. And you can say, well, the goal of an offense is to get wide open threes. And if you just miss those, there is some bit of, hey, they are just missing good looks. But it is on the players, it is on the coach to say, we need to get to this point on the floor. We need to get into the paint. You need to, what you used to do at this point A is get to this point B. And what you're doing is you're not even getting to point B anymore. So the players probably know. They see it on film. They go, yeah, I know. And the coaches have to reinforce it. And I think, you know, hey, they had a practice today. And that's just sometimes in the NBA you go through some slippage. And I think, maybe with Tatum back and an extra day of practice and just a little bit of extra focus on the film session and understanding you've lost 4 or 5, so it's clearly not working. If you think what you're doing is working, then, you know, very obviously it's not. I think a combination of all those things are going to help.
Now, the Pacers have been struggling. They've lost 7 of their last 10. Is that a way for the Celtics to get out of this, or is there the fear that they'll do as they sometimes do and play down to the level of the competition tomorrow night?
Well, you know, okay, so yes, the Pacers have lost a bunch, but there's still, you can't take anybody lightly in the NBA. I heard a great stat on our Locked On NBA podcast yesterday where in the past, up until this season, I forget exactly the time frame, teams above 500 beat teams below 500 70% of the time. This year, it's happening 56% of the time. So there is a lot more parity. The below 500 teams aren't as far away as they used to be from the above 500 teams. So the Celtics will really hurt themselves if they come in and say, oh, okay, phew, thank God we got this slump buster coming in here so we can kind of get out there and get this easy win. They can get an easy win, but like I said before, there's a way to do it. Miles Turner is playing the best basketball of his life. Tyrese Halliburton is a really good player. They've got two good rookies out there led by Benedict Mathurin. There are places where if you relax against the Pacers, they can make you pay. So it's imperative that the Celtics come out from the beginning. And I think for their own habit building, they need to come out from the beginning and do the things that they haven't been doing over the last few games to kind of reset themselves, to kind of prove to themselves, okay, we can get back on track pretty easily, and to kind of show everybody, hey, that last 8 games, as I wrote in that piece, it's a footnote and not a turning point in the season.
Well, let me see if I can summarize this and wrap it all up with your Elvis analogy. It's now or never for the Celtics. They need a little less conversation and a little more action, or they'll turn the Garden into the Heartbreak Hotel.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. That was perfect.
Thank you very much. John, we appreciate it. As always, have a wonderful Christmas, and we're off next week, so we'll catch you in 2 weeks when things will be going a whole lot better for the Celtics.
Wonderful. Well, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody listening and to you as well.